Hello everybody, Danny Miles here. Sorry that I've been away for such a long time, but a mixture of work in the field and stuff behind the scenes has kept me active in the last few days, as I regularly am, but unfortunately so active that I've been unable to come and share time with you as I love to do. And this is one of the reasons I started Audioboo, because I find it much easier to sit down with a phone or a mic and speak for a few minutes rather than type out something which I then have to go and review in my very writerly way and make sure is correct and grammatically accurate and all those sort of things. And also I don't think it has as much personality behind it. But for whatever reasons, I'm very honoured to be using Audioboo and I am back. And I shall be telling you about some of the behind the scenes stuff that's been going on in the next few days as some of them become more apparent, because some of them are actually things that I'm involved in working on next week, and you will be able to visit some of those things if you so wish. But I'm going to whet your appetite and leave it there for now, because we have responses, and thank you to everybody who listened to the Audioboo, but especially to those who responded to the Audioboo, which I recorded, over a week ago now, 30th of January, last Wednesday, called What Right Do We Have to Human Rights? A brief overview for those of you who may have missed it, but please do feel free to go back and catch it if you did miss it. This was a boo about a gentleman known in the press as T over here in the UK, who had appealed against what he felt was a breach of his privacy because at the age of 11, he'd committed a crime by stealing some bicycles. And at the age of 21, he'd had what they call a disclosure and barring service check. It was formerly called an enhanced criminal records bureau check carried out by his potentially new employer. Now, this in itself wasn't wrong. It's something that's often done, and especially in the public sector or in situations where somebody's going to come into contact with the public, especially if the people are, say, children or vulnerable adults, people who need an extra degree of protection. So this wasn't the issue as such, but the problem was that he felt that the age at which he had committed the offence of stealing the bicycles and the length of time between them and the relatively minor nature of the crime would have made it a spent conviction. In other words, that it wouldn't be deemed appropriate for it to be revealed because presumably it had no connection to his job, although I'm not actually sure what the job was that he was applying for. And also, because it was a relatively minor offence, it wasn't aggravated assault or anything like that, and it had only been a one-off, etc., etc. Anyway, so this posed the question, having committed the crime, did he have a right to privacy because of not knowing the reasons behind why he may have committed it? Had he had good role models growing up? Had he known better? And of course, over here in the UK, the criminal system presumes that as of the age of 10, you are liable to be tried in a youth court, and because you do know right from wrong and should know which actions are appropriate and which actions are not. Conversely, MZRQ from America kind of got in touch via Audioboo. Thank you very much for that. And explained that in America, the system, although the actual sentences that are given to people are generally much harsher than over in the UK. That's my words. That's nothing to do with MZRQ's opinion. But that despite that, MZRQ was saying that she's glad that T was found to be right in his belief by the appeal court, because over in the US, people are not deemed to be guilty of an offence until the age of 18. Now, I don't know how far this transpires. Certainly, I have heard news stories where somebody under the age of 18 has facilitated or even committed a murder. And even in states where the death penalty is allowed, and perhaps the death penalty has been awarded to an accomplice who was over the age of 18, it hasn't been awarded to the under 18-year-old. But I couldn't remember whether any sentence at all had been handed down, although I presume from what MZRQ is saying that that wouldn't happen. So that's an interesting slant from another area of the world, and shows the other side of the argument. So I'm glad that you feel that the appropriate thing happened, MZRQ, and that you were saying that the relatively minor nature of the offence and not knowing what may have caused it or been the influence upon the gentleman concerned means that a bit of open-mindedness is required in such situations. Also had two sets of feedback on Facebook, and thank you to both of the people who wrote about this. Firstly, a very considered and insightful response from an author, a poet, and he does know it, and a good sporting colleague and friend of mine as well, BJ Edwards. And thank you for this, BJ. And BJ wrote, "The government intends to challenge the ruling. The problem is that this, if it goes through, could cause a situation whereby offences are tiered according to their nature. But this in itself opens a moral can of worms, begging the question, who judges the offences and who decides the context? As for Danny's point about giving people a chance to change, this in itself swings the power balance to the would-be employer, dictating the dynamic before the interview. Personally, if a bloke has half-inched a rally racer at the age of 10, that doesn't much affect his ability to work in an office at 30. But some crimes are gateway crimes, offences that are seen to lead to behavioural patterns in the long term. Having worked a lot in prisons with prisoners, some of them were in trouble as kids, some younger than others. It depends on the age and the crime. If an old-fashioned enhanced CRB check throws up issues, common sense must surely prevail." So thank you, BJ, for that. And a second piece of contribution coming in this time from Katie Fraser, with whom I've had lots of great chats, and who works at Hertfordshire Pass, which is a great organisation located in Stevenage, although I think it's certainly spreading, but it's based in, its main building is in Stevenage. And in fact, I think it may even be part of a wider sort of operation which goes outside of Hertfordshire. But it assists in getting disabled people into work and employing their own care assistants and those sort of things. So some great work done there. And I had the privilege last August of joining some of the course participants and helping them to devise a radio show, which was great fun. Anyway, Katie wrote to say, "I had a similar incident where, as a child, I took out of my local post office some pens. I did not mean to steal them, and my mother came back to the post office to explain what had happened. I was wrongly accused, but it could have led to me being criminalised for it. And I was the same age as T, and I had no understanding of right or wrong. You have to be careful as to what you disclose on your application for a CRB check or a disclosure form, as your employer can be not understanding of your circumstances." So, thank you for all of those contributions, all different. One from a different area of the world, as I said, and then Katie's experiential comments, and of course BJ, a very considered philosophical approach which looked at both sides. So thank you for those. And the other thing I have to say about Katie is that thank you to you and to all the other wonderful people who have been joining me on Saturdays for the Saturday Party Loving on Mushroom FM. That has sadly come to an end, although it's good news because we have some excellent new legends in the 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern slot on the Home of the Fun Guys now on a Saturday. That's Katie and Sam, who are making their debut with The Eclectic Express this Saturday. So please do keep tuning in to www.mushroomfm.com. My two podcasts are still up on my presenter page, mushroomfm.com/DannyMiles. And I will be coming back with a new show. I'm going to be off for a little while because I've got to set up the necessary technology. But when it's done, it means I'll be even more interactive than I have been in the past. Not only will I have Facebook and Twitter, I don't usually use Facebook on the show, but I might start using Facebook on the show once I get used to keeping my eyes and ears and hands on everything else. But we use we use Twitter and email at the moment. Facebook's a possibility, and so is Skype, because I'll be setting up a mixer, which means I'll be able to feed audio content back into the computer from various places. And also hoping, because I'm hoping to do some more interactive stuff in my shows, maybe also we'll be able to use the iPhone to transmit demonstrations of applications on the iPhone, if that interests people, and also maybe carry out some interviews. Of course, we can do that through Skype, but the iPhone's another way, and a good quality way once it's set up right. So thank you to all the people at Mushroom who are helping me with the technicals. Once we get all that done, and once we find a slot that's appropriate, I will be back on the air, and I am still, as always, around for covers. So you never know when you might hear me. I just lurk in the background. But as I say, Ability Gateway and myself generally, lots of things coming up, and I shall be back to share some of those with you soon. But for now, thanks for tuning in. Again, thank you for all your responses. I hope that you all take care, have a safe time, and I'll speak to you soon.